Hello and welcome to the Foreign Desk Explainer on Monocle 24. I'm Andrew Muller. In this episode, what will President Trump mean for the United States' relationship with NATO? U.S. Vice President Mike Pence and other subordinates of President Donald Trump are going to have to get used to uttering variations on the phrase, what he meant to say was.
The United States is now and will always be your greatest ally. President Trump and the American people are fully devoted to our transatlantic union.
Pence, visiting Europe this week, has been at considerable pains to reassure the locals that the United States remains committed to the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, founded in 1949 as a bulwark against the Soviet Union and ever since the underpinning of Western Europe's security, arguably the more so in recent years as the definition of Western Europe has moved further east, incorporating several countries which were once constituent parts of the enemy NATO was designed to thwart.
It is many countries, doesn't cover terrorism, and NATO has to either be rejiggered, rechained, or changed for the better. The other thing that's bad about NATO, we're paying too much.
NATO's obsolete.
I think it's largely obsolete, yeah.
Trump's previous utterances on the subject had been rather more equivocal, prompting nervousness across Europe, which increased at inverse proportion to distance from the Russian border. Trump had declared NATO obsolete, demanded that the treaty be renegotiated, and suggested that, at a moment of crisis, the United States might check the receipts to see if a particular partner was meeting its commitments before deciding whether or not to show up. Speaking to the New York Times during his presidential campaign, Trump said, "We have many NATO members that aren't paying their bills." At which point it is necessary to observe that just because Donald Trump says something doesn't mean it isn't true.
We are aware of that several NATO allies are struggling with the budgets, deficits, and with challenges related to how to increase defense spending.
NATO states are supposed to adhere to a 2014 guideline of spending 2% of their GDP on defense, but this target is presently only met by five of the alliance's 28 members. The United States, the United Kingdom, Estonia, Poland, and Greece. A few members don't even spend half that target amount. Among the more notably parsimonious are Belgium, Slovenia, Spain, and Canada. In Trump's transactional view of the world, this amounts to what he would doubtless call, almost certainly in capital letters, a bad deal. The United States provides 22% of the money for NATO's common funded programs. However, the idea that the broadest shoulders should bear the greatest burden has never been one to which Trump appears to subscribe.
We have your back every hour, every day, now and always. That also means getting our allies to pay their fair share that are very unfair to us.
The most likely upshot of Trump's presidency where NATO is concerned is an increase on defense spending by its members, both to fend off criticisms of their failure to meet their obligations and to insure themselves against the possibility that the proverbial cavalry might not ride to the rescue if summoned, especially in a confrontation with Russia, which seems to be the only foreign country for which Trump harbors any fondness. There are already indications that the hint is being taken. Germany and Romania have both pledged to meet the 2% target amid a general boom in defense investment across Europe. Last year, NATO spending rose for the first time since 2010. Trump's presidency may well end up leaving NATO better armed, better defended, and better at appreciating the degree to which the United States has underwritten Europe's security for 70 years, none of which would be bad things. But this process and the attendant politics are unlikely to be frictionless. Trump can look forward to being reminded more than once that Article 5 of NATO's treaty, the so-called All for One, One for All clause, which obliges the alliance to a collective response if a member is attacked, has been invoked only once, on September 12, 2001, in defense of the United States. That was the Foreign Desk Explainer. Tune in this Saturday for the full 30-minute edition of the Foreign Desk. I'm Andrew Muller. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.